Let's go. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel says, Kol Zoy Nisisi Bachachma, all of this I tested with wisdom. Amarti Echkama. I said, I'm going to become wiser. V'yirchokim mimeni. And everything I did kept everything far away from me. Now, Chazal tell this. Does anybody remember what this is about? This line, Amarti Echkama, V'yirchokim mimeni. It's a reference specifically to... It's a reference to Paraduma. Paraduma and the Chukim of the Torah. I thought I'd be able to figure these things out without a problem. I thought I was going to be able to look at Paraduma and be able to understand everything as if it's just, you know, whatever it is. I thought I'd be able to understand the Kabbalah behind the Torah. Nothing. I got absolutely nothing. That's the pshat over here. It's so difficult to be able to remember everything. I tried it. I said I was going to be wise, and no, I wasn't able to do it. Rachok mashahaya ba'omok omon miyut enu. That which is far off and deep, deep, you know, so far down, who's going to be able to find it? Who's going to be able to figure it all out for themselves? There's no way for us to be able to do it. And Moshe Rabbeinu really told B'nai Yisrael, there are certain things you're going to get, certain things you're not. And there are certain times that you're going to have to say, I just don't get it. If a person learns Gemara B'Ian and he comes up to Akasha in the Sugya, it doesn't mean like you're done. You know, like you can't move on, there's nothing I can do, right? You do everything you can to answer up Akasha in the Sugya. And then you go on. Sometimes, maybe you'll get it the next time. Maybe you'll get it the third time around. But not everything is going to be answered up when there.
Yeah, you know, but that if it's not answered, then how can you move on? I mean, how could you can't? You didn't finish the
Masechet. If it's integral to the sugya, then you're 100% right. If it's an integral point that you cannot move on, like, I don't understand this whole page. Right. You're right, I agree with that.
Turn the page and
but I mean more like, there's something that's written in
Rashi. That's the beauty of Daf Yom.
Exactly, just turn on. But it's something written in Rashi. It doesn't make any sense what's going on. If you spend all of your time on that, it's going to take you too long to go through. Okay, this time you might be able to have say Tzarech Ian on this Rashi. And then you go on to the next one. That's the way Rabbi Akiva Eger went through things. I'm sure Rabbi Akiva Eger had hundreds of answers for what he wrote. But there's so many things. He said, Tzarech Ian Gadol, Hashem Yareinai. There's sometimes we just have to say, Rechoka Mimeni. It's Rechoka from me. Maybe I'll get it the next time around, but I can't spend all of my time on one thing. I won't go anywhere. I won't get anywhere. Sabosiani. So I turned my heart, Belibi and my heart, myself and my heart, Ladas v'lasur v'akesh chachma, to seek, to probe, to try to figure out wisdom, a cheshbon, and try to figure out a reckoning. V'ladas resha kesel, to know wickedness and folliness, v'asich lo holelos, and all the folly and all the things out there. I tried understanding all of this stuff and everything I could do to try to figure out all these different things. Like, for example, science and astronomy or whatever it is. Motzei imar mimavas. And here's what I found. The most bitter thing, more bitter than death, is a woman. Asherim etzodim acharamim liba, where it's all traps and nets, her heart. Asurim yadeh, her arms are like ropes, binding ropes. Tov levnei Elokim yumalim yana, the best thing in front of God is escaping from her. V'chotei lochavah, but a sinner gets entrapped by her. Now, obviously, we're not talking about, you know, a good wife and everything like that. We're saying that a woman of sin, a woman who is out there to be able to turn people away, right, that cannot, there's nothing worse than that. And it's worse than death. There's nothing you can get out there
with. It's interesting, the body parts he used to describe her wouldn't necessarily be the ones that, like, I would have. I would have thought, like, maybe her mouth, like, her words would be the issue, not her arms or her heart.
I don't think it's the heart and the hands specifically. I think it's referring to, like, that's what she does, like, she is ensnaring with her thought process, you know, the way that she tries to do things in order to get people out there. Or the Yadah, I don't think is literal either. Asurim Yadah is just, so to speak, as if she catches you in her grasp. And she doesn't let go of you. That's the thing you want to get out. The worst thing is to be able to have such a thing. I remember, I don't think it was a Jewish guy. Somebody who got up there, it was one of these like evangelists, but not like a preacher. It was somebody out there who said the worst thing in the world is to have a drop-dead gorgeous neighbor. That was the line that he said. Drop-dead gorgeous neighbor. It's the worst thing in the world because you keep looking and saying, like, you don't know what's going on in your friend's house, but you think that if I had a wife like that, how could I not? You're missing everything else that goes with it, obviously.
I had friends who were looking for a roommate, and they didn't mind, you know, if it was a female or whatever, but they're like, they can't have an attractive female. But they can't have it.
You'd be surprised how attractive they get. That's the idea. And the line over here of motze ani. Motze ani is something that's unbelievable. There is no other word motze, right, in that way, in all of Tanakh. It's Kilu, this is the only thing that's like it in that way.
How does he know how bitter death is?
You're right. I guess you'd have to say what we think death is like. Yeah, that's what you'd have to say. Re'ezeh matzasi. Look at what I found, Amra Koelos. Achas la'achas lumtzul cheshbon. adding one to the other to be able to figure out a cheshbon. I'm able to figure things out one after one. We can count up to get to the sum of all things there. And here's another thing that Koala said. If you add on one by one by one, don't try to do everything at once. You do one by one by one. I have found that leads to a tremendous cheshbon at the end. You take a dollar a day and you put it aside, put it aside. It's $365 at the end of the day, right? That's something that's really, really good.
Right, another shot possible in the Motzani Marim Lazavarisha, meaning that somebody could get themselves into a situation with a woman that will be more bitter than death.
That's 100% true. Right, chas v'shalom. Asher od biksha nafshi lo matzasi, adam echad me'al matzasi v'yishu b'chol lo matzasi. There's another thing that I seeked, but I could not found. Remember, Shlomo Melech had 1,000 wives. One out of 1,000 I have found. But a woman out of all of those, I have never found. One man out of 1,000 could be a tremendous, tremendous person that everybody should look up to. But a woman, I've never found one out of 1,000 women. Now, that's a little bitter toward woman itself. But it could be that what he means is that I haven't found in my looking, through, searching throughout the world and all my wives, I never found somebody that was that special. It's funny, because you'd think Bathsheba, at least his mother, would have been a very, very special woman.
Yeah, but that's not his wife.
But you're right. I guess that means, like, within his wives, he's never found something like that.
He didn't, like, forget that all the ones that weren't Jewish or converted or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
by the conversion, so to speak. Yeah.
He didn't have, like, a single decent Jewish wife?
Nama. Well, she was an Ammoni.
Nama Ammonis.
That's even the crazier.
The answer is yes. But the kasha is he wanted somebody like his mother and he couldn't find it. There was nobody that he could find that was like Bathsheba. Maybe he wanted something like Sarah Imenu. Maybe there was not one like Sarah Imenu. Avram Avinu, you can find other people that are similar to Avram Avinu. But to find somebody like Sarah Imenu, you've never found somebody like Sarah Imenu. There's nobody. What are you going to say?
No, but like, well, that's a generational thing too.
Mm-hmm. No, like, 100% agreed. But you can still find an Avram Avinu. You can find people that are similar to Avram Avinu, maybe not exactly the same. Can't find anybody like Sarah. And I don't even know what that means so much because, again, the way we look at Sarah Imenu, there's so many things that could be wrong about her.
Well, you can pick
apart
all those guys.
Right, exactly. So if you're going to be a, you know, one of those guys who's looking at Sarah Imenu and not as perfection, then in theory you could do the same thing by Avram Imenu. But look at what it says in Pasuk Chof Tes, Levadre Ezim Atzalzi. Aside from that, I'll show you what I found. I shall also look him as Adam Yosher, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made man Yosher, Vehema Bikshu Chishbonos Rabin, but they think they want so many things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you everything you needed, and all you do is you make more and more Chishbonos. Oh, no, but I need this, but I need that, but I need this. And you keep pushing yourself into a different way. That's ridiculous. Don't push yourself like that. Perchas. Mi ke'achochom, mi yodei p'shar davar. Who is like a wise man? Who knows the meaning of anything? Chochmas adam taryapanav. When a person has chochma, it lights up his face. And that's aside from the fact that all of a sudden you figure something out, you're like, oh, I got it. You know, the little light bulb that goes on the top of your head. It's also, it shows you you're a special yid if you do that. But oz panav yisuneh. And somebody who has strength of face, if a guy is too forceful or somebody who's like pushing himself into other people, that person is going to be hated by every other person. Some could say that it means that he changes everything about him. That's going to be over here. Now, again, that's the chacham. The chacham is the one who uses the chachma to light up his face and doesn't allow himself to become darkened or anything like that. Okay, there's a lot over here. There were a bunch of stories over here. Number one, the famous story with Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Eloy and the non-Jew. The non-Jew came up to Rabbi Yehuda Eloy and said, either you're a wine drinker, or you lend money with ribbis, or you raise pigs for a living. That's what it is. And Rabbi Yehuda Eloy says, no, I don't do any of those things. There's nothing like that whatsoever. The reason why I only drink on Pesach, because I get sick otherwise, whatever, it shines. My face shines because I learned Torah. That was Rabbi Yehuda Eloy's answer back. That's the reason why my face shines more than anything else. I think we know Rabbi Yochanan had that shine of his face. We don't know exactly what that means, but there's something there. The carne hod that Moshe Rabbeinu had, which were shockingly not exactly horns, as Michelangelo depicted them, right? The shine that he had that came from his face was this sort of like chachma that he had. And that's what the chachamim continue if it goes, ani pi melech shmor, I keep the king's command, baldivras shvuos alokim, as well as the word of the oath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore what we needed to do over here, and that's what ended up happening. We kept all the different things that we had. That could be the people like Hanani, Mishael, Vazaria, who refused to bow down to the idol. But here's a little mashal. A king seized the inheritance of a widow after she was walking behind her donkey crying when she was met by one of the king's ministers. He asked the reason, why are you crying? She said to him, I've been left a small inheritance, a little house, a little plot of land that had been in my husband's family for many generations. He grew up in that place. Before he died, he begged me never to sell it under any circumstances, but keep it only for our child. Now the king has taken it away. So the minister said, give me your donkey and your sack and follow me to the plot of land where the king is now. The minister greeted the king, who asked him what he was doing there, so he told him about the widow and her situation. So the king said, what, you're going to ask me about what I'm doing? I have the right to do whatever I want. I want to build a palace on this land. This is the perfect land for me. I'm building up a house on this land. He said, I didn't come to ask you to return the property, said the minister. But the widow does have a request. She wants a remembrance. She wants a sack filled with soil from her inheritance land that she wants to take. So the king said, all right, do it. So you filled the sack with soil and whatever it is, right? When it was full, he asked the king to help him load it onto the donkey. So the king said, well, you're asking me to help you put it on the donkey? I'm not going to do that. But nonetheless, I'll do it because it's you're giving me the land. So when they came to lift the sack, it was too heavy to lift. The minister said, right, my king, listen to this matter. If one sack of soil is too heavy to lift, what will you do on judgment with all the great weight of all the stones of the palace that you're going to build on the land of the widow? Those stones will be on your plate, on your midas adin, on your scale, when they judge you in Shemayim. Right? That's the idea. So the idea over here is anipi, keep the words of the king alone. And the idea is that if this is a word that was spoken to us straight from God and an oath straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can imagine what's going to be if we don't keep what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do.
Like that's the story of Achav and Nevi'ah.
Neville. Yeah, very, very similar. Neville. Yeah.
Nevi'ot, no?
Neville was
David Melech.
Novel. Yeah, you're right. Novos. Novos was the name. Yeah. Altiba hel mipanov. Don't be shocked from in front of him. Telech, and just walk away. Altamo bedavarah. Don't stand in an evil matter. Kikol sheyachbot yaseh. Because obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do whatever he wants. That's the idea behind it. So don't sit there and wonder and say to yourself, what's going to be over here? And don't overthink things. What did Shaul HaMelech do when he wanted to kill the king of Amalek, right? He sat there and he said, maybe it's not the best thing to do. The king of Amalek, he's really not doing anything to anybody. Why should he even bother in the first place? Don't do that. Don't do that. Do what you're supposed to do, and that's it. Bashir Dvar Melech Shilton, since a king's word is his rulership. Mi Omer Lomata said, who's going to tell the king, what are you doing over here? And it's the same thing over here. How are you going to tell the king? Shomer Mitzvah Yidah Devaro. If a person keeps a commandment, keeps a mitzvah, he will never know something evil. Chazal asks, what do you mean? It happens all the time. People do mitzvahs, and then they get hurt, or something happens. Shomer Mitzvah, if you keep a certain mitzvah, Lo Yidah Devaro, about that thing. That thing will never hurt you. Like Nechunya, Ish Kfar, Kofar Sichin, that he used to make pits for the people that would do Aliyah L'Regel, he would never have anything bad happen to him when it came to water. Right? That's the idea that the Gemara says. An unbelievable Gemara over there, but that's not for right now.
Why do we refer to God as the king here in this section?
I think because we're looking at the judgment of God and wondering why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing certain things. I was saying, if you keep those commandments, he is going to reward you for it. There's a guarantee what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do for you. And so to the Eisvu Mishpat Yeda Lev Chacham, a wise of heart knows that there is always a time and a judgment for anything, for everything. And it will happen. Because everything under the sun has an Eisvu Mishpat. Because the evil of man is upon him at all times. And therefore, because of that, because there's so many sins and whatever it is, so many people are tipped toward a guilty verdict. Nobody knows what's going to be. Whatever is going to be, who's going to tell you exactly what's going to happen? So you have to live your life knowing that you're always going to have doubts. You're not sure. No man can rule over his spirit and hold himself back. You should know there's no shilton on the day of death. Chazal say that in the last day of a person's death, he is humbled. There's no way that a person is going to really figure out everything he needs to do. There's no dispatch in war. There's no way to say like, all right, guys, I just want to walk out of war now and walk away. And there is no evil that will escape the owner itself. There's no way to get around all these things. As kol zeh ra'isi, I've seen all this, said Koheles. And I paid attention to all the different things that were happening on the sun. There is a time when a man has power over another man to do bad over him. It happens all the time. You have the ability sometimes to rule over another person and do something bad. I've seen the wicked being buried. And I've seen them come. And they go to a holy place. Then they forget in the city. The city that they themselves made. Gamza Havel. And this is garbage. A person who gave a ton of money and then lost all his money comes back to the city. Right? Nobody recognizes him. Nobody has any idea who he is. His name is up in a bunch of buildings, but nobody has any clue that that's the guy that ended up doing it. Look at that guy. He's a pauper. He's a nobody. Right? That guy. And sometimes he doesn't ever get the loans that he needs. Comes back and he says, listen, I was rich at one point. I don't have it anymore. Can I borrow money? And they don't give him, even though he gave them when they needed the money over there. This is Hevel. Because sentence for the evil does not happen very quickly. Therefore, in the heart of man, everybody thinks they can do whatever they want to each person. Because, come on, Why can't they? Why can't they go around? Asher chote usara, when a sinner does evil, ma'as, let's say 100 times over, or marech lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is erech apayim for such a person. Ki gam yodeh ani, she'yatoiv. And I know, right, it'll be good. We are looking for those who fear God, Asher yomil fun of who truly have Yira before him. But nonetheless, it's hard, because I'm looking at these people, and I'm seeing that not only are they not being punished, but they're being rewarded, seemingly, when they're doing these bad things. I don't see anything bad happening to them. Etov lo yiyah l'rasha. The good, right, it's not going to be well for the Rosh. Lo yarech yomin. He's not going to have length of days. He's going to be like a shadow. That's what his days are going to be like. Because why? Because he doesn't fear a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have that year of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he really should have. It's not going to be well for such a person. Yesh hevel, asher nasal aretz, there is garbage that happens on the land. Asher yesh tzadikim, asher megiya olin k'masi rashayim. There are tzadikim that have what should happen to rashayim happen to them. Yesh rashayim shemagiya olin maisi tzadikim. Amarti shekav ze hevel. And I said, this is also hevel. Now, this line of bad things happening, Koheles is sort of accepting it. This is something that Moshe Rabbeinu had to suffer on his entire life. Right, Ata Tira, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Kadosh Baruch Hu, why are you letting this happen to the people? He says at the end of Shmos in the beginning of Va'era. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ata Tira, you're going to see it. You're going to see what's going to happen. Don't ask these types of questions. Throughout the Medrash, we see these lines. In the Gemara Brachos, Moshe Rabbeinu says to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, explain to me, why is it Tzadik V'ralo, Rosh Avitovlo? And he asks these questions. Shlomo Melech is sort of acceptant of it. It's going to happen. You're going to see these things. It's not that he's saying, I can't understand it, sort of like Eov had as his questions. Yesh hevel asher nasal aretz. This happens. This happens. What is it? Tzadikim asher megiya olin ma'aseh rasha'im. It happens. Now, why? Okay, so you could say like the Ramban in Shar HaGemur, a tremendous sefer, in which the Ramban says that you're being rewarded in this world for everything if you're planning on going to Gehenna in the next world, and if you're going to Gan Eden in the next world, so everything's about the punishment in this world. You could explain what goes through over there. But either way, it's not... These are hard things for us to fully understand. We look at this, and really, you can really go into another Hevel that's out there. A person like Hevel, where you sit there and you wonder, why in the world did that guy die? What did he do wrong? Hevel brought a korban after his brother Cain did. He one-upped him. He brought a better korban. And he gets killed for it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to be killed? Now, I know there's Bechira, and a person can choose to kill. Maybe that goes beyond HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and has, it's in the grand plan, but a person has the ability to do whatever he wants. So in theory, a person can kill, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to die at that moment. That's a famous Rav Dessler. There's a lot of detail to that. But nonetheless, Hevel, what did he do? What is there? Yesh Rasha, Yesh Tzadik V'ralo. Seemingly. V'shibachta and Yesh HaSimcha. So what am I going to praise? Somebody who enjoys life. There's no good underneath the sun, rather to eat and drink and to be sameach. And as we said before, is a reference to a person learning a lot of Torah. That will accompany you throughout your toil, throughout the days of your life. That God gave you under the sun. Enjoy your time in this world and enjoy everything you have. Even though you possibly want more. When I set my heart upon to know wisdom, Valiros is Indian, to see the Indian that was happening in the land. Even day and night, when you don't even sleep and you can't get that all done, but and I saw all the deeds of God. In all these things that are happening under the sun, right? And a man tries so hard to figure out what's going on, and he never finds an answer. Even if the wise man says, oh, he's got to know. No, he's not going to be able to find it. He's not able to figure it out whatsoever. This is part of everything. I spend a lot of time reading some really good books and trying to figure out like certain things in the world. I don't get to read all of them, and I'd love to go back. Can you imagine going back to like high school and actually paying attention during biology or during chemistry and figuring out how everything works, that you could just grow from that? I read all these books all the time. I am amazed by how the world works. It absolutely amazes me. The human body is something that I went on about 6 months ago. I did a whole thing on the human body, just reading, just going through. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing.
Did you ever see the bodies exhibit?
Yeah, in the Museum of Science and Industry. Amazing.
No.
Really disgusting.
I don't know if
they had it.
Like the plastic bodies?
Yeah.
Real bodies. Yeah, real bodies.
Yeah,
but they plasticized them.
So in the Science, Museum of Science and Industry, they have it here in the second floor. They have the body thing. It's real bodies. It's a couple, unfortunately, I don't know if they did it, whatever, Asian men that donated their bodies to science. So you have a whole thing of just the nerves,
like
just the nervous system.
A Dutch scientist who got people to donate their bodies.
So you can tell tell that this was an Asian man, but you have different parts of his body all separated.
And what, it's just crazy. One person?
It seems like
this guy had an exhibit with like maybe 100 bodies where he would just like show the...
So this is a minuscule one.
He took away the whole body and just left the veins. So you see where the veins are.
Yeah, this is it. That's what they have. But it's one person that they separate all.
No, but this one they had different... different things, and it was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. No, I hear it. It's the coolest thing in the world. Right. When you look at it, you're just like, how much intricacy is inside all of this? It's absolutely amazing. Look at Perek Tes. Kes Kol Zeh Nesach Dileibi. I looked at all of this, all these good and the bad. Levuras Kol Zeh. And I wanted to clarify all of this. Asher Tzadikim HaChachamim V'Avadeim B'Yad Elokim. That Tzadikim and Chachamim and all their servants, all their works, everything they do is in the hands of God. Gam Ava Gam Sina. Not only love, but even hate. Ein Yodea Adam HaKol Levneim. No man really knows exactly what's happening. All is in front of them, but they don't know exactly what it is. Meaning the hidden things, right? It's before them, and they have to sort of like figure it out. So we have no idea. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. We know that there's things out there, but we have no idea what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is thinking, why he gave this to every person, what's going to be with every person that's out there. Hakol, Kasher Lakol, everything is to everything. Mikra Echol Tzadik V'Rasha, there is one thing that happens to every tzadik in Russia. Latov V'Latorah, for good people and Torah people, Latomi V'Lazoveach. And to Tomi people and people that are, I don't know how to put that, V'Rasha, I don't know how you'd read this. How do you what do you think the trup is? Latzadik V'Rasha Latov, for the tzadik in Pasuk Beis. Latzadik V'Rasha, it should be Latov V'Latorah V'Latomi, for the good, for the pure, for the Tomi. V'Lazoveach, for those who sacrifice, maybe who bring a sacrifice, or somebody who sacrifices their lives, somebody who's not zoveach, katov kachote, right? Like the good, so is the sinner. Hanishba kashashu yorei. Somebody who swears, and so do someone who fears to swear. All of them, at the end, we know what's going to happen to all of them. They're all going to die. And every single one of them is going to go to the grave. They're all going to be judged. And everything's going to happen. That's the idea. Zera. This is the most evil of all things that happen under the sun. That everything goes to one place. And that the hearts of people are filled with evil, v'holelus, and madness, both of them in their hearts, b'chayim, in their lives, and then they all die. And then they go afterward over here. Okay, yeah. Elisha, okay, it's going there. Kimina asher yechuber al kol achayim. Mi asher yechuber al kol achayim. For someone who is joined to all the people that are out there, Yish Bitachon, if you see everything that's going on in the world, maybe then you have a little bit of trust. Kila Kalev Chayu told me to Arya Mace. But here's the trust. A live dog is better than a dead lion. A dead lion, a huge Talmud Chacham who has no ability to achieve, is no better, much, much worse than a person who's still alive, even if he's not such a great guy. My dad always said, would you rather have, he's the player, it's somebody you're not going to recognize, but Doug DiCenzo. He's an old Cubs player. He was a utility player. He was a try-hard, you know, but he wasn't that great of a player. So he used to always ask friends of mine that would come over to the house. You can tell I was an unbelievably popular kid because of this, right? Would you rather have Babe Ruth on your team or Doug DiCenzo? And they all say, Babe Ruth. My dad's like, what would you do with a dead man on your field? He's dead. Doug DiCenzo? He's alive. He's alive. You want somebody who's alive more than everything else. So this is actually a line in the Gemara itself, with it, they thought that Kohelis was a bit of a sira. He praises the dead who have already died. Mishabeach is a mason, which is in Perek Beis. And Aviri says, Kilakelacha, you told me to Arya Mace. What's the difference over here? And Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara on Shabbos around Daf Lamed, right, that there's a difference over here, and it's the following. He says, when a person's dead, he has no ability to do mitzvos anymore. But when a person's dead, he also has no ability to do averos anymore. So it's better to be dead if you're a person that's inclined to doing averos. It's better to be alive if you're a person who is inclined to doing mitzvos. That's the idea behind it, and you do the right thing for everything. Ki achayim yodim shemusu, because the live people know they're going to die, and therefore they prepare thusly. But the dead, they know nothing at all. Because I'll say from over here that it seems like the mesim have no ability to know anything that goes on in the world. But there's a Gemara in Brachos on Tafir Chasim Abeis in which somebody said that, and he said, you don't know any psukim. And he brought a pasuk in Mishle that said, clearly the dead know what's going on in their lives. So what does it mean they don't know what's going on? Rishayim in their lifetime are called dead. Rishayim, even while they're alive, they have no idea what's going on in the world. They have no clue. The Ein Od Lahem Schar, Kinishkaf Sechram, they have no schar left. Because all of their memory is forgotten. Gam avosim, gam sinosim, gam kinosim. Everything they loved, everything they hated, everything they were jealous of.
What does it mean their memory is forgotten? Some of the worst people in the history of the world, they're remembered in history books.
for good. Their for memory bad. Of the good things they did have been forgotten.
Remember, oh.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. You don't want to be remembered right. for bad. You don't want to be known as like Attila the Hun or Hitler, Yimach Shemam. You know, those are the worst things out there. That's the worst memory. Everybody says your name and they spit after they say it. That's the worst thing in the world. You want to be known for something great. So if you want to be known for something great, they have, you don't know, maybe he did something great, you know? Yeah, that is synonymous for evil, right? Although, and I'm saying this almost like tongue-in-cheek, but I don't mean it that way. He did start the greatest yeshiva movement that the world has ever seen since the times of Rabbi Akiva.
He didn't start it.
I know, I'm saying almost tongue-in-cheek. But nonetheless, like, he was the catalyst, because what happened, everybody said, well, we got to bring back Torah. So I'm not saying... I'm hoping he gets not a single tiny bit of scar for anything out there. But the yeshiva movement did start because of the Nazis, Machshavah, because of the result of what happened. Maybe we even got Eretz Yisrael because of it. It's possible we got the land of Israel.
The Holocaust survivor, says, and his, like, the Holocaust has to be the worst thing that ever happened to Jewish people. But if there's one good that came out of it, is that we have Israel now.
Yeah,
but,
who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Maybe that was, again, part of a callus. Did he get rewarded for it? I sure as heck hope not. Right? But nonetheless, right, that was there. It says, "Ein lo namskar." So then, gamma avos and gavsin avos and gavsin, the things they love, the things they hate, the things they were jealous of, kvar avada, it's all gone. And they're all gone from the world. V'chelek ein lehem od le'olam. They have absolutely nothing left in the world, no share in the world, v'chol asher nasa techos ha-shamash, and anything they did under the sun itself. So that means, like, at the end of the day, what are they getting? So therefore, so you're alive. Enjoy. Go eat in simcha your bread. And drink with a good heart your wine. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to work, wants you to have your deeds. He wants you to go ahead and do everything you're supposed to do in this world. There's no point in living your life and saying, like, well, I don't know, maybe I'm going to have, maybe I'm not going to have in this world. There's no point. Keep working and keep going and keep doing.
Did you also say that in Yom Kippur?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that is brought down over here. That at the end of Yom Kippur, we say exactly this. You might as well start over, so to speak. At all times, your garments should be white. Do not take off oil from your head. Now, you can take off oil from your head now. This means shampoo. Meaning, take a shower, right? And, you know, get yourself cleaned, right? And always make sure that you're not just clean symbolically. I mean, like, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you all the good things and whatever and everything. It's a literal translation. To wear white, to have yourself clean, to make yourself, you know, in such a way. I still don't know. I don't understand why the Hasidim chose black. That was a Polish car.
Because that was the Polish nobleman.
Why not choose a white version of those clothes?
Because they were black. So just like they were black, we were black.
Yes, right. I don't know. It'd be so much better. Can you imagine every Jew wore all white? He'd be dirty all the time. It would be amazing. It'd be absolutely amazing. That would be so good.
We have the Hasidim and with Tolos Aaron, they were the gold.
The gold on the blue, right. The blue on the gold, and then the gold on the blue, depending on Shabbos and Cholom, Shabbos and regular week. You'll see. It's more muted during the week. On Shabbos, you see the gold. The gold is much, much bigger.
You know where they got that from?
No. Where?
The originally Rishonim and the Sephardim used to wear clothes like that.
Oh, really?
So they took their clothing.
Why not? It's beautiful clothes. I would take their clothes. I don't know why the Sephardim stopped. It doesn't make any sense.
We move on with the
times. Tolos Aaron, by the way, is not Hasidim. They're not Hasidim. It's not from a Hasidish sect. Technically, they don't have a Rebbe. It's very, very different. Oh, it's very, very different. They have a Rebbe, a Rav, but they have a Rav of Tolos Aaron. It's not a Rebbe. It's not... Technically, they still do Hasidic, like the Tishes, Tolos Aaron Tishes are still Tishes, but it's not the same thing. It's a different style, different structure. You have to like really get into Hasidus to like fully understand these things. I don't really understand it entirely. Either way, but that's good. Then you should see a life with the woman you have loved, all the days of your garbage life. Oh, this is awesome. I should know the Chazal says that God has given you under the sun. Kol yimei avlacha, all the days of your hevel. That is your chilek in this life of amolcha, shart almol techos hashemesh, and your life of toil you have in this world where it's stolen. Right? Finally, we're seeing that woman of valor, so to speak, the Eishes Chayil. Right? You have it. So make sure that you're doing the right thing when it comes through. Okay, ready? Good mashal over here. Three Jews come together at an inn. They ask each other about their work and where they're going. One of them said, I have a great desire to study Torah. For many years, I've wandered from city to city in order to study Torah, but I've never been able to do so. I now go home brokenhearted. Second one said, I want to marry a modest woman who will be a good wife. I've journeyed for years from one city to the other. I'm now returning empty handed. The third one said, I'm poor. I have many children. It's many years since I left my city in hope of finding a livelihood, a parnasa to be able to have. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not made my way successful. Now I'm going home with a bitter heart. They wept, right, all that night. They fell asleep while they were crying. Elionavi came. right? Elohim Navi, he pleaded with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, it's known about you, before you, about these children of Avraham Yitzchak, and how many tears they shed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's known to me, they're not worthy. They're not deserving of getting any of these gifts. Eliyahu said, I don't know that. So let's put them to the test. So in the morning, Eliyahu came to them in the guise of an old man with a wise expression. He said to one of them, what is it that you want? He said, I'm poor, I don't have a penny. He said, you're not fit to be rich, said Eliyahu Navi. What did I do wrong? He said, a rich man has to be able to relinquish his money and to be able to give to the poor people and give up of his wealth. Accept everything that you say. He said, here's a gold coin. Okay, so you can have it, but whenever you use it, it's going to keep in your pocket. You're going to be able to keep it over and over and over again. The guy went back. He started trading. He became extremely rich. He went to the second man. He said, what do you want? He said, I have a great desire to study Torah. He said, you're not fit to be a judge or a teacher of Israel. You're just not fit to be a Talmud Chacham. He said, what's my sin? He says, you got to be humble, and you're not humble enough. You're not going to be able to do it. He said, I'll do it. I'll be humble. So he said, okay, take this piece of paper, read it. You'll become very learned right there. Okay, and keep it with you until I come and I test you later on. The man did it. He got it. And eventually he got all the secrets of the Torah. He was understanding things. He became a huge Talmud Chacham and everybody started going to him. The third man, he said, he went to the third man and he said, what do you want? He said, I want to marry a proper, a modest woman, right? That I want to do. Couldn't find her. He said, across the riverbank, there is a widow. She's very poor. She goes from house to house begging. Ask her to give you a place to sleep for that night. She has a beautiful daughter who is modest and will make you a very good wife. She will give her to you without any questions or complaints. Awkward, but okay. Let's say that's how it works. He found the woman. She gave him a place to sleep. She and her daughter slept outside. And he slept inside the house. After several days, the widow said to him, what is your profession? He said, I don't have a profession. I'm a shepherd. He said, would you like to be the shepherd of this town? You'd be like my son, right? I'll be like your mother, right? And he did, and he married her daughter. After several years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Eliyahu to go test them. When he arrived at the city with a poor man and become rich, he gathered 5 orphans. He promised them food and drink. They agreed to follow him. He came to the house of the rich man and knocked. The servant asked what he wanted. He said, go tell your master that I'm a Jew who was once very rich. Here, on the way here, I was robbed of everything I had. I heard that you deal kindly. Please give me some coins so I can pay the wagon driver and whatever it is, and I will leave my children with surety until I can repay you, etc. The servants reported the rich man. The rich man said, how many people are there? And he said, whatever it is. And he said, give them 6 loaves of bread, and that's that. So he only gave them 6 loaves of bread, and that's that. Right? Eliyahu Navi said, woe to me, we're in the hands of cruel people. Right? And that's that. Eliyahu Navi went back, and he said, see what you've done? Right? You didn't give the money as you were supposed to do. So therefore, it's all gone. He gave the coin to him. As soon as that happened, fire came out, bandits came, the guy lost absolutely everything. He went to the place where the Torah is, and he said, I want to learn Torah. He brought orphans with him, please teach me. The guy said, I'll only do it if you pay me, right? So the guy said, I'm not going to do it if you don't pay me, right? I have to make money, so you have to pay me to be able to go. Eliyahu Navi tried crying, it didn't work. So he said, all right, give me the alphabet that I deposited with you, you're going to forget everything. So he forgot all of his learning. Came to the third one, and he said, do you have some bread to eat? The woman brought him a ton of bread. Do you have any water? Water. Do you have a place to sleep? I'll let you sleep in this house. She went outside, etc., right? So he said, you've done well. You have a tremendous wife. You're going to live a good life. And he gave him the coin, and he gave him the alphabet. Pretty good, right? End of the story. The idea is that it's all in the merit of a woman of valor. It's all in the merit of the wife, not in the merit of the husband itself, which is, I guess, a little bit better than he said, Motzini Mamri Mav, this is the Isha. Let's finish off this parakol. Shetim said, Yodcha Lassos B'Koy Chacha, everything that you could possibly do in the world, Ki'im Ma'ez V'Chesh B'Medas V'Chacham B'Bish O'Shar Ta'il L'Chshama, there's nothing left in the grave where you're going. Shati B'Rot Tech L'Shamash, and then I went back and I saw under the sun, Ki Lola Kalam HaMeirotz, it's not for the races, not only for the people that run, B'Lola Gibor M'Mohamma, not only do the strong fight a war. Kam L'Chamim Lechem, not all the wise men have bread, or it's not just the wise men that have bread, Kam L'Levoni Moshar, it's not just the understanding people that have riches. Right? Not all those people that are knowledgeable have favor. Everybody has a time, everybody has a place. Even if a person is poor or whatever, he can get anything under sun. Person does not know his time. Just like fish that are trapped inside a trap, right? That are inside a trap. Raw. Right? And it's really, really bad for them. And like birds that are trapped inside this snare. Kahem, you kashem b'nei adam le'Israel. At a time of evil, that's what happens to people. When it all of a sudden falls upon them, all of a sudden. I've seen this as wisdom that comes underneath the sun. And it's greater. It's great to me. And I see all these things. There's a little city with a few men in it. When a huge king comes, he's surrounded. There's huge barriers outside. Inside there was a wise man, Chacham, who was a poor wise man, Milet, who is the Irbe Chachma, so he was able to save the city with his Chachma, but nobody remembers him. Why? Because he wasn't a big gibor. He wasn't a strong man, and he wasn't the king of the city. He was just a wise man that gave good advice, and all of a sudden, right, he was the one who saved the city, and nobody remembers that it was him. Nobody remembers, I don't mean to say it this way, but nobody remembers the person that drafted Michael Jordan for the Bulls.
Rod Thorne.
Except for you. One person. V'amarti ani toivah chokhma yigvura. So I said, better is wisdom than might. Chokhmas miskein, because the wisdom of the poor man is despised. U'dvar v'nishmayim, his words are never heard. Divrei chachamim b'nachas. The words of chachamim are said quietly. Nishmayim, they'll be heard. Mizakas moshe b'ksilin. Rather than the screams of the ruler of the fools. Right? It's better to speak in a soft manner to be able to get your words across and to be able to have everybody be heard. Toivah chokhma miklei krov. Better is wisdom than weapons of war. V'chote echad, one sinner. He can destroy so much good.
Why is it
that
important to be remembered? If you do something good, and that goodness lasts,
yeah, really you don't need people, to be. Yeah.
Is it important for people to remember, oh, it was so-and-so who did it? People are benefiting from it. The guy's getting scarred for that. But I mean, why is it?
I hear what you're saying. I don't think, outside Gaiba thing, I don't think that is what he's referring to. It's just sad that you're not remembering the one who brought you this good. Why isn't that guy being remembered? If he's the one who brought it about, he's the one that got it there, why isn't anybody remembering him? I think that's the thing that we're asking about. Like, oh man, can you
maybe
believe
it?
Cars
that going
yeah, on. Well, because we don't know and nobody thinks about this. I think that's his problem over here. All right, guys, we'll stop with this.